Prologue. 2007, Portland, Maine. He was seething, yet he looked terrified, the sides of his mouth literally foaming. I remember logging how unhealthy he looked now. Pale.
Sunken.
We were standing on this cobblestone street, on a steep angle where he stopped me.
Mr. McClure. Mr. McClure.
Everything seemed off, off kilter, off balance. No bearings in this town I'd only been in for a day. My heart was pounding, and I wasn't sure if I was a good enough actor to maintain my composure. His eyes were glassy, and he was fixed on me with a laser focus.
Mr. McClure.
He could be dangerous, I thought. It would be so unlike the person I thought him to be. But this was one of those times, I thought, where someone is out of their mind. Temporary insanity. Time stopped. And all I could think was,
Don't turn around. Don't turn your back.
He bore through me, both of us breathing heavy with adrenaline, anxiety, fear.
So, how long are you staying?
I'm not really sure. Why?
You seem nervous.
No, I'm fine. I just, look, normally, when you run into someone you haven't seen in 10 years, it's...
Why are you so nervous?
Man, I don't know what's going on here. What can I tell you?
Do not get weird with me, Adam. I've known you a long time. Do not get weird with me, Adam.
He staggered back a few steps, his mouth still foaming, white at the edges.
What is that?
And with that, he walked away. But not in the direction he'd been heading. He turned right, down an alley that looked to be a dead end. Gone. Out of my sight, like a ghost. I still think about you. Part 1. Present day, Sag Harbor, New York. My dog has 3 legs now. Jake. They say dogs are born with an extra leg because they only need 3, really. He gets along incredibly well. So resilient. It's inspiring at our age. He... the agile elder statesman, me at middle age. Every day I take Jake to the bay. It's his happiest place on the planet and has become a routine, a ritual that is the highlight of our days. Often we're alone, miraculously so. To have the harbor, the inlets, the bay that feeds into the ocean so close by, and I'm amazed when it feels like our personal private shore. We see dogs on occasion. Some people, mostly friendly. Sometimes a guy clamming, who waves and smiles at us. Maybe I should say hi at some point. Anyway. There are figures on the shore across the bay I can just make out. Sitting on their porch, looking out at Shelter Island. Must be nice to live on the water. I put my phone down during these walks, unless I'm taking a photo, just to breathe it all in, to smell the air, hear the wind and birds, see the shapes of the sand dunes and the tides. I tell myself that's why. But I also have the urge to be aware of my surroundings. Look over my shoulder. Be vigilant. It's safe out here. Sometimes I come at night, too, with a flashlight, but even in the day, I pay attention. Maybe not out of the ordinary, but I have visions of it. Thoughts of someone around the corner who might mess it all up. It's not a monster, per se. Nor is it supernatural or a global pandemic, even. Just a guy. The lurking. The not knowingness of the situation is what gets me. It recurs over time. Not haunting, necessarily. No, I shouldn't say that. I won't say that. But it reminds me of things from the past. Moments, people. Things I can't talk about.
Don't talk about that.
Hard to know sometimes what we remember accurately. And what's a memory of a memory? Or just a convenient or self-sabotaging story we tell ourselves. I'm aware of these things I still think about. No matter where you go, well, there you are. And that's all I've written for now.
So that's where you left off?
Yeah. Like I said on the phone, sometimes I think it's easier for me to write down my thoughts, to get a clear idea of what I'm trying to say. So.
It's a good place to start.
Thanks. I mean, good. It's it's been a while.
But you have more on your mind.
Well, yeah. I haven't written it down yet, so.
You can talk about whatever you like.
I guess it feels indulgent talking about myself or memories, things that have happened.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not really sure where to start with all this.
Why don't you start at the beginning?
The beginning? Which part? So, I guess I'll just try to, include the pertinent info, try not to get too sidetracked by my life and what happened.
Try not to edit yourself.
Anyway, this thing happened a few years back. It's an undefinable time, really. It's like a dream in some ways that it happened.
When?
14 years ago. But it was set in motion before then, I think. When I first moved to New York in the mid-late 90s. Sometimes it can be hard to distinguish fact from fiction. What we remember clearly and...
Try to stick to the first person.
What I remember clearly. And what could be a memory of a memory.
Go on.
It's important to note, though. Coincidences are fascinating. That feeling of deja vu being so real, or seeing someone on the street just after they cross your mind.
Whose mind?
My mind. Well, it's a universal thing that...
Sixth sense
we all have. Those moments in our lives that leave such an indelible impression. People who leave an impression. Or people who come back into your life and... Fuck it. I moved here in the late 90s. 96, I think. I decided I wanted to be an actor a few years before. And after spending too much time in my hometown, I moved to NYC with little money, no job, no connections. Except for some college friends entering the corporate world. It's the same story for so many. The outline of it, anyway. Small town kid moves to the big city, big dreams, blissfully unaware of the struggles ahead. And the beauty, the life, the love. Thank God, really. It could have gone so many ways. I like to think I had my head screwed on straight, a decent moral compass, good judge of character. But still, shit happens. It did. It would. There's a romance to that time in stories. Films and novels love these tropes. How will life turn out for this impressionable kid? Either swallowed up by the dark forces, or he beats the insurmountable odds, or reinvents himself into the person he imagines. She imagines. It was never that way for me. Well, rarely.
Why?
I mean, I look back on that time with self-judgment, self-recrimination, some pity, a bit of empathy maybe now. I feel for that kid. Anyway, I appreciate his ambition, his enthusiasm, his joy. Unaware, but hopeful. I was living here with three roommates from college.
Where did you live?
Hoboken, just across the river from the city.
Sure.
And it was pretty much an extension of our time in a fraternity house. Shitty building, clanging radiators, smoking bongs and playing guitar till all hours. Grateful Dead, Year of the Cat, whatever we could manage with two guitars and limited talent. It was fun, but I had moved there from Pittsburgh to be an actor, you know, and I didn't know a soul in the arts, except a few of the young actors I'd done a summer apprenticeship with a year earlier. I did long to meet those people, actors who were working, were connected in the right way. That would come, I told myself. And we had fun, we got drunk, we got high. Went into the city a lot. I took the path in every day. I spent the days looking through Backstage magazine, sending my headshot and resume out. I went to some auditions. I had to get a job more than anything. Clearly, my income wasn't going to be coming from acting yet, so I had to figure it out.
Can you articulate that?
Sure. I searched around for some jobs. The only thing I was experienced in was restaurant work, and I'd worked in a law firm one summer. Finally, a new restaurant on the Upper East Side told me I could work there. They had hired enough servers, but I could start as a busboy, dishwasher, and work my way up. So there I was, Big Sur on East 63rd Street. It was a new restaurant, nice, chic. Seemed to be popular with the well-heeled denizens of the Upper East Side, and those who want to try new restaurants they read about in Time Out or the Zagat Guide. It was my first real taste of living in New York, working in New York. The staff were mostly other actors, a few years older than me. There was this guy, Robert. I called him Rob. It's Robert, Adam, who took a liking to me and showed me the ropes. He was excited about starting his program at Stella Adler in a few weeks. Or was it Strasbourg? I forget. Anyway, he'd done some small productions in the city. Felt like he was going to do films once he got out of school. He was a prep school kid. Wide, innocent face. Tall, lots of hair gel. I remember him saying about himself, "Do I think that having a heavy chin will keep me from getting certain work? Yes, I do." It's funny what we remember. He was charming, but also oddly arrogant for the amount of time he'd worked. He seemed jealous when I told him I'd done a small part in an action film with an arguably big star at the time. There was Bo, our own personal James Dean character, always angular, always smoking, the angry young man. Even though he was older than everyone else, probably by a lot, I don't know. Every restaurant had one of these characters, it seemed. Ours was Bo. In the alley outside, where most of us smoked when it was slow, I told him I was an actor, and he kind of nodded and kind of scoffed. At one point, he mentioned he'd been in over 100 student films, and some of them did really well, apparently. He seemed like he was good, though, good look. Seemed pissed off and over it, which also seemed like a prerequisite for being an actor in New York when I was in my 20s. I don't know. I was never that angry, really. But it did take me years to realize not all roles called for that. Anyway.
Go on.
There was Christina, who looked like Molly Ringwald and was from Ohio, but she was an opera singer.
She was in school for opera, and I remember being fascinated by her telling all of us that opera singers didn't really get good work until they were in their 40s, so she was just going to keep at it, and that's when her career would take off. Something about that never felt right to me. I mean, even if you'd mature into better roles in your 40s, surely there was a way to sing opera and play parts at smaller companies before you hit your prime? Or no? Do you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It was so different than my pursuit, really. I mean, I'd never really taken an acting class, but had acted in college, did an apprenticeship at a great summer theater festival in the Berkshires. I was inspired and encouraged enough to think that I could give it a shot. But if you'd told me then I had to wait till I was 40, well, little did I know. The chef was young, but really strict and on coke a lot, so sometimes if you messed up, he'd fly into a complete rage in the walk-in freezer. Get to the point. There was another young woman, Caroline, who was really cool and my favorite. She reminded me a lot of a college friend, or really every friend I'd had up to that point. Fun, irreverent, smart. Could light up a room with no ego, really. People were drawn to her. Creative, too, which ultimately probably was her downfall. She'd gone to Washington and Lee in Virginia. She was from some big southern well-to-do family, apparently. Or obviously, I mean. It wasn't like I questioned it. She was clearly just of money. A reluctant debutante, at least in hindsight. She was a real southern belle. She looked like a California girl. Think Christie Brinkley, circa 85. She'd been a photography major and was determined to work as a photographer. Worked also days as a part-time assistant to an established photographer. She seemed to be both excited by this and also kind of saddened by it. The hand you're dealt is a creative southern woman whose family has no idea what that is or means or really why you're in New York to begin with. It wasn't the best time of my life, but it was fun. I enjoyed these people. I fit in okay. Eventually, I became a waiter. We'd go out afterward, often. Most of this crew was single, so it was a way to pass the time. The city can be lonely sometimes when you're solo. The cool part was this group celebrated everyone's successes in these moments. Toast to a callback or a voiceover gig, booking an actual vacation. Christina, or Molly Ringwald, sang for us one time after a couple drinks. It was an aria, loud, uninhibited, odd for the venue, but beautiful, touching, really. What I remember is she glowed. Like she'd been waiting for years for someone to ask her to sing, and she did. I understood. I related. You know, to be young and move from across the country to pursue this thing, this idea that you have something in you that you want to share, but you're not allowed to do it yet. It requires time and permission and validation, paying your dues, whatever you want to call it, waiting. So, in this moment, I understood what she was feeling. The whole bar clapped. It was beautiful, and it was a New York moment, you know. I saw the future in her face. Hers and mine. I wonder if anyone else remembers that. I bet she does. Christina told me about Montauk and Sag Harbor, taking the train there every weekend, me not knowing what Sag Harbor was, but it sounded nice. Another night of drinks and Rob, it's Robert Adam Rob, telling me about his first day at Strasbourg, or Adler, and how the teachers spoke and welcomed their class and he kept interrupting and asking them to clarify about exactly what they'd be working on and why, and inserting his thoughts about what he was looking forward to about the program. He smugly said it didn't go over great, and that the faculty and some of the students seemed leery of him already. But clearly it's the first impression he wanted to make. Bo, the angry sort of James Dean, he'd maybe have one quick drink with us, but he always needed to be somewhere else, it seemed. Had to run off to some girl he was dating or some shoot he had to be on the next day. He always had sides with him.
Sides? What do you mean?
Sides are the pages actors get for auditions or when you do film or TV. Basically, the pages you need to prepare when...
Ah, right. Got it.
I still really enjoyed Caroline, though. She had this bright light she'd shine on you, and you felt it. I felt it. But it seemed like everyone did. She was just one of those people you meet in life, you know. Charmed, I guess. Someone you hit it off with immediately. A kindred spirit, and hope that you know them forever. It wasn't that I was interested in her romantically. Were you? Why not? I don't know. It just... I liked her. She felt familiar, like life in New York would be okay.
Right.
Less of a stranger than the others. In addition to moving to the city for her creative pursuits as a photographer, she was also into the late night clubs too, that whole scene.
Can you articulate that?
The edge of it all. You know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. New York, rite of passage when you're young. And everything that went along with it. Just making the most of her time, living free and easy in the big city. Dating this guy she'd met at the clubs a few months earlier. She seemed kind of into it, one foot in, one foot out. Not surprising at the time. One night, a few of us went back to her place. We played some albums, or CDs, as it were. Classic rock. I remember the Black Crowes, Allman Brothers. We drank Southern whiskey and smoked pot. Blue Sky played on the stereo, and she showed me her photography portfolio. It was good. It wasn't what I expected, like, at all. But her photographic eye was deep, soulful, lyrical. One photo I really remember, was of a bird on a cliff above the sea protecting its nest. We talked about what we wanted. I talked about acting, wanting to be in plays, do parts on TV, new plays, not Shakespeare. She put another CD in. This was one I'd given her a few weeks earlier. It was my brother Kevin playing music. He was a singer-songwriter in Seattle at the time. She said she really liked his lyrics, wanted to meet him when he came to town.
Oh my God, I love this song so much.
Yeah, he's good.
I need more whiskey.
Really? Okay, fine, twist my arm. So how long have you lived here again? Like a year?
Let's see. I guess like 9 months.
Oh, right.
Yeah, long enough to know I don't want to go back home.
I'll drink to that. She'd been here about the same amount of time as me, but she seemed more dug in, like she'd been here longer, had more figured out than me. We were a few drinks in. I said I could see myself living here a long time. I'm really glad I moved here. I like the energy of the city.
Mm-hmm.
I figured I would, you know?
Yeah. My dad gave me 2 years to make it as a photographer, or else I have to go back home.
Back home? Like, literally?
I mean, no. No, I'm not going to live with my parents, but...
Yeah, that would not be good.
He just thinks 2 years is long enough to get it out of my system. It's sort of the agreement I made so I could live here at all.
What? What the hell kind of agreement is that? Really?
I know.
That's insane. I mean, 2 years is, like, nothing.
Yeah. Well, they just... You know, they just don't understand New York or what I'm doing here, really. They think I'm just alone, walking around Times Square, oh, God knows what.
I mean, that is fucking ridiculous. You're an artist. You need to be here.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah.
Oh, man. 2 years? Her apartment was great. Big, one bedroom. It was a walk-up, but she lived alone in Manhattan, so it was pretty clear what she meant. That her dad wouldn't bankroll her beyond her 2 years if she stayed. So, oh my God, it's late. I should let you go. Is a club guy coming over tonight after his shift? Or what's his name again?
I actually like club guy. I'm going to call him that.
Yeah, maybe don't tell him I said that.
Yeah, he'll stay over probably.
I'm impressed you can stay up and enjoy all that. I mean, I'm exhausted after we're done working and we drink afterwards. Jesus, I feel like such a tourist. Besides all of us going to see music, I've been to those clubs like twice. I'm like your dad, basically.
No.
I mean, it's fun, in theory.
Oh, it can be fun. Until it's not.
Until it's not. True that. Cheers. Yeah, until you're that poor club kid who was dressed as an angel who ended up in a bag in, like, the East River or something. God, that was so fucked up.
No.
He's still in the Post every day. It's, like, the only news.
Oh, God, yeah, that is some dark shit.
Dark. It is grisly. Like, there's no other news here?
I know. Oh, my God.
So just don't go to that club?
Oh.
Maybe.
I promise you.
It's good. You know, it's a learning curve. Okay, I should hit the road. So I'll see you at 5 o'clock, which feels way too soon at this point.
Oh, no.
Thanks. Fun night.
All right, bye. Home safe.
It was late, and the others had gone home. So I spilled out onto the late night street, bleary-eyed, trying to remember if the buses were still running or just the path. God. Always an adventure getting back home. I've never been so glad to have the parents I had in that moment. I was realizing that restriction and limitation felt so foreign to me. My parents were supportive, sometimes vocally, but mostly silently, I guess. My oldest brother had died when I was 9. I think I always understood the silence to say, do what you want. Life can be fleeting. Godspeed. Something like that. I'll get to that.
Sure.
Later.
In your time.
So we continued to laugh at work, share stories about our days. The patrons who sometimes made Molly Ringwald cry if they were too pushy or needy or belittling. But one day, I got a call saying the restaurant was closing, effective immediately. The loathsome owner, his name was Michael, picture a snake in a tie, that's generous. He owed a lot of money to his partners, and that was it. They pulled the plug. So it was back to square one. Disappointing to get into a routine and work with people you like, then have it all stop abruptly. Much like doing a play, I'd realize later. Working hard, laughing with these people you'd grown close to, sometimes a known ending, and occasionally the calls when it all ends abruptly. I remember realizing at the time we probably wouldn't see each other again. All these people. I miss the routine, the tips, the work friendships. My first in New York. I even kind of missed the chef when he wasn't on coke, and James Dean, who mostly ignored me. I missed seeing him work on sides and just seeing sides in general since I'd been on few auditions. And then Rob. It's Robert Adam. I think he was one of those actors with three names, which would make sense. He got a little weirder as time went on. His initial helpfulness gave way to indifference, which gave way to envy, it felt like. Not sure why. I was a few years younger, still somewhat unencumbered. At least for a while longer. Maybe he was unhappy in his acting program, I don't know. But I assumed I'd see him again someday. There was no love lost there.
Right.
But unless you were dating someone, it'd be hard, if not impossible, to stay in touch. You know, everyone had these other jobs or classes or ambitions. This was just one job in a lifetime of many. My first in the city. Later, I realized I didn't really remember anyone's name. Last name. You don't really use them a lot when you're working in a restaurant, unless you ask. The months rolled by, and they were all a distant memory, for now. But Caroline, I knew we'd be in touch. It took me a few years to realize that you'd be lucky if you left a job like that with one friend. More likely you wouldn't. Same with doing plays. A few years later, when I did my first few plays professionally, I remember being surprised, or disillusioned, that friendships during a production don't always translate to real life.
Go on.
Well, again, you're lucky if one does stick. I mean, it's happened, sure. I have a few good friends and many friendly acquaintances I met during plays over the years. It's hard. It's unnatural. It's like camp, you know. You fall in love, in a way, with your castmates. Not literally, but in a kind of way, you do. But a similar refrain goes through my head even years later, like, I thought we'd be better friends, or God, why didn't we stay in touch? One of the best experiences was a play up in the Berkshires. A few years after this, maybe 2005, living together, playing music, drinking whiskey and singing harmonies in the night. Every night. The play was fun too, but almost an afterthought. It was this sense of, oh yeah, shoot, this is why I wanted to be an actor or to live a creative life. To be here right now. We'd joke about our music taking off, never leaving, staying in the house, our band playing weekly at the bar we went to, and turning the coffee shop into a live music venue. God, that was fun. The freedom, the youth, the not looking over my shoulder. I still miss them. You know, we're still friendly, but life and careers happen, you know. They've all done really well. Friendships turn into fond acquaintances, people I'm proud to know when I see them on TV, and I say to my husband, oh my God, Lauren.
Lauren and I had played together in this play
so
we did
long ago. Like maybe 10 years
God,
ago.
She was amazing.
She was awesome.
God, she was so good.
Remember when you met her that time?
God, we had fun.
It was a fun play. Wow. He nods his head dutifully, as if I don't say that every other week. I'm proud of myself that I've stopped saying it. The restraint to not say out loud that I worked with an actor we're watching is clearly a sign of maturity or age or conditioning.
Please, go on.
So, one of those people from that play and our band, I ran into on 9th Avenue maybe 10 years after the play, say 2015, walking her young son in a stroller.
Oh my God. How are you?
I'm good.
It's been so long. You look amazing.
You too. God, how has it been this long? That's crazy. Hey, congratulations on your family. Really, this is...
Oh, thanks. This is Charlie.
Say hi.
Hey, man. He's adorable.
Hi.
Congrats. Really, he is amazing.
Hey, thank you. He's so fun. It's exhausting, but...
Yeah, I mean, I literally can't imagine.
Oh, my God. When are we getting the band together again? Who's even managing us? Can we fire them? What the
totally.
F?
Right? Where the hell is he? Do you remember when we were going to write that TV show about you having a kid that becomes really famous and you have to deal with the fact that you've been working as an actor all these years and then he surpasses you when he's like 7 and becomes like...
Yeah, it was awesome. We had this whole thing.
This one
out.
TV show and becomes like a
oh
really
my
giant
God.
Star, but you're kind of jealous of him.
Why didn't we write that? It could happen.
Well, I mean, clearly, look at this kid. Well, I gotta get going, but it is so good to see you.
The best time I ever had doing a show.
Yeah.
No, it was awesome. We'd have been a really good band by now.
God, I know. What broke us up? Damn it.
Yeah. Wow. I still think about you, I thought. That was fun, she nods. It's never disingenuous. It's true. You often wish you had the time, the bandwidth, that kind of 20-something energy and capacity to have that many people in your life. Actors understand this, I think. So about a year after the restaurant closed, in 1998, I called Caroline, the photographer. I had it in my head maybe she'd take headshots of me before I left for my new life out west.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
What?
Sorry. The number you have reached has been disconnected.
What? What happened? I felt... What was it? I suddenly felt unmoored. Like one of my anchors in the city was gone, just like that. There was no forwarding number. It would all happen soon after. These coincidences, chance meetings, happenstance. Meeting the people I needed to meet. Falling in love. The lives that would continue to brush up against mine. Like running around a connected track. And the friend I would meet just after this. People who would come back into my life years later. Who would end relationships. And change my life.